This morning I'm turning to the book of Psalm chapter 47. Psalm 49, I'll read you verse 7. From verse 6 to verse 9. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it is easier forever that he should live. Should still live forever and not see corruption. This morning we are thinking about a ransom for sin. And okay, yeah, again, asema, it's a empatadia, I'm sure we are aware that in the time of the slavery, before a slave can be have his freedom or be delivered from bondage, where he or she is serving, a ransom must be paid. A price must be paid for her or his liberation. It has to be settled by whoever wants to take him or her away from his or her master. And that idea of paying a price, the idea of the ransom. So as I said this morning, we are thinking about the ransom for sin, which sets sinners free from the bondage to sin, which liberates us from the spiritual death, and also which will cut us, which will prevent us from descending into eternal death. And okay, the person being who is a patadia or homa bone, a babu muna umu, a treasure. Then I make us a mra, not a. Slave trade, Titipano. Now, sir, I bet you will be a few Kwasum, I'll say a good year, baby, a manura, and say Jano. I'll say a tria, and then if I would be a hooker, and Sana, it's me, Ajano. Jano Pesel, because the young dream, Patadio, Elma Bonino. Sam Patadia and Emma at the Boyo for a year, Fahudia free, Bonino. Fahudiano, a war, woe, I daho, if the one away a swinton, a woe, as you move, as I won, soon to move, and eh, die a woe, a better feeding uncle for home, and no, and I say, dear Fisa, Bonnet, Astia, a Chanois, and my Fahudi, and my Fahudi Fisa, and your meal. Because, as the Bible tells us, the wages of sin is death. So whoever sins comes under the meaning of death. And that death, as we say, the spiritual, the physical, spiritual, and eternal death. Then we know that our physical death, all of us will die. Whether we are God's people or not, we shall all come to that state. But for spiritual and eternal death, that one, we have to be liberated from it. But before I move on, I always when you talk of the ransom for sin, you have to also mention this, the false teachings about the ransom, redemption of man. There are others who teach wrongly about redemption of man. When you talk of redemption of man, the plan of God which he put in place to redeem sinners from the bondage of sin, which I've explained that about, which has brought death on us, which has cut us from him, which makes us rebel against him, which makes us live a life against him. So, to redeem us, to bring us back from such states, that's what we talk of when we talk of redemption plan, where God sent his son to come to be our sin bearer, so that through him, we can be free from the bondage of sin. So that's, but there's always wrong teachings about the redemption of Christ. And one of the common ones we call the ransom theory of atonement. Those who hold this teach that the death of Christ was a ransom price paid to Satan. In satisfaction for the bondage and death of on the soul of humanity as a result of the inherited sin. And they claim that by the fall of Adam, he sold his descendants to Satan. The American said, if you look at it, I can't or dear and seminal Bible Munua, say, yes, Christo, a Babu Muma, when you know, everyone say, yes, Christo, you won't know where we are. You go on like it to your Tiama or Bonsam. Now, if you say, or the Tiana come out, why Jeffy, no mere a day or so, away or so, I feel up one at the buy, ain't you know? So Tiana can't know Jeffy or Bonsam Sim. Maybe Mukra, I can say. Tama Adam here born in Oshia, Sierra, or Ton, and I see for near the mountain. Some he said, yes, Yako home, Etia, upon some kind, then no idea if he is that. If some even claim that God tricked Satan into accepting Christ's death as a ransom, that Satan didn't know that Christ, death cannot hold Christ, so that when he died, then Satan realized, oh, he can never be holding by, held by death, so that. When Satan accepted the sacrifice, then God was able to take sinners out of his hand. And sometimes we say, oh, this, oh, well, I mean, this kind of thing is something which is so weird or something. But let me remind you that this wrong teaching of redemption is the foundation of the prosperity, wealth, and health teachings of our time. And also the word faith movement and the deliverance practices in charismatic churches today. This wrong idea about redemption, this is where the root of this false teaching about prosperity, wealth, and health teachings, word faith movement, deliverance practices in churches today. Not that you say, oh, why people are doing that? This is the foundation. This is where they draw this thing from. Some of them may not even know, I mean, but those who started it, these are some of the foundations they hold on to. Because they think that the redemption price was paid to Satan. So because of that, somehow the curse of sin is in the hand of Satan. So even when God saves us, he gives us the power to take back our glory. That's not what they say. We are taking what Satan has taken from us. Witches, I mean, after us, or the family curses after us, so we are going to take back. So that's the idea. The air can say, sir, and Chachia, and yet, the cry far or dear, I excuse to new Wono at the Mayano. I made church and we say, Mukasa, yes, Christo Wono, a good free set. Utia, upon some, and what you will need to hear upon some cat, son of idea if you're upon some sin. If you serve Bonnet, Enqua, Bonnasina, your crab was shed. If you say Adam, I'm Roy Bonnet or Toyama, and I see for the Master. I mean, and she said, "Yes, yeah, Christo, when you have a phone, focus on your poor trick, Satan, so that, or Jesus Christo, when you two, no, then, what you mean, I get, or when someone names Jesus Christo, no, it won't mean then, in dinner. Well, I make us, I have, how make I look at so, I say, where there, I ask someone, and she died, you know, because, a bar and memory away, Moya, or more, I can't so, ye dear, and then Yarisa. And then, day if you invite Jimu, and then, oh my God, I can be in your home, and then, oh my God, oh, yeah, for year or year or year, so many I do on Solomon. That in Chachaya, and sorry, yeah, and Juma, Yomuya, and his son, Yoma, and Yano. It's Nasa, Ivia, and Chachemu, and Muchachem, is to know or Jim, or not, and yet, Papa India. Because, and my attention, look at Satan. Emma, Bibia, could this state and say, I be for me, when someone is in the new or when someone is in my warrior. And that is all. Because, Bonnet, or when someone is or they are penitent, Bonnet so associate Emma. Because, and they think that, oh, you are doing quite the answer. We share there, say, why you don't Bibia? You have to put it with Shabba, why you don't Bibia, or when somebody to me, it's you. But that's the idea. That's what they think. If God blesses you, Satan can block it, or some demon or witch can block it, or some. So do something about it, so that this so-called apantre and whatever they claim. And all this is based on this ransom theory of atonement. People who've been practicing, many of them are not even aware of this, but that's where it's coming from. So you see, it's a very important thing when we talk of ransom for sin and where the Bible teaches us it should be. So, as I said, they say that when God says that he gives us power as a salvation to wrestle with Satan and whatever forces to take back our glory, including the afflictions of life, poverty, sorrows of this present life. Bravo Muhao, Yare, any bibia, it's not when they are free, they tell you, oh, what about Christo wa? That's it. Because they think that Satan is holding on to these things. Okay. So this ransom theory of atonement goes back even as far as 10th century AD. It's an old era concerning this atonement of Christ. 10th century AD. Because it is found in the writings of Origen of Alexandria. This man was a prominent early church theologian. Which those who follow theology knows about him. And so it's an old era about the redemption of Christ. And if you study, you follow the trend of this a portion of Christians from early stages even up to now, whose ways have been like mysticisms and like the charismatic group and the Pentecostals kind of doing things. Always, they are kind of, either fully or partially, explain the theory of atonement this way, if you follow how they take it up. Okay, so the teaching undermines the gracious blessings of the atonement of Christ. San Church, you know, say, and I say, Emma, yes, Christo, ne, Pata, you know, and dead ye. Because what the Bible tells us, Christ paid, died to pay a price to satisfy God's justice and not Satan's dominion over sinners. Yes, we saw we editia, yes, Yabupon, Nebu Pishua, there, so, sir, Messi Manipa, yen to me, yet, one yet, yeah, Nebu Pishua, so I don't know, or Fahun, ask it here, at one also. And yeah, upon some dear with the bonus. And of course, upon some dear, the boy, of course, my Bible tread, and also a Bible flow. Our deliverance from Satan's dominion was by power, not sacrifice. Remember how God delivered the people of Israel from Egypt? It was by power, it wasn't by sacrifice. The same way, Satan's, for God to take us from his hand, it's not by sacrifice, it's by power, by force that he takes it. He takes the same people from his hand. And once God's justice is satisfied, Satan has no power over sinners. Because sin is against God, and so long as sin's punishment has been taken, all the forces that are against the soul have no power again. That's what it means. So Satan himself has no power. So long as we are in the state of sin, every power of darkness is also against us. They are going to say, yes, Christ, who you know, but you are. You're born in Hoka and my young people. If you say, boy, young people, Nimra, and I had a Yabusu. Now, sir, Utia canopa, then to me, be a cry, if you say, you're a woman, you know, but they want to tell you, sir, to me, be a to me, be a ni, you're so a point of view. If you say, young people, no, what my own fine one will be out to me, by your son. You didn't intend one, be any hope you. And to have it to me, be a quit here, crown, only to me, was with you, son, I see it. Because Satan himself is held captive by sin. He is himself in a state of sin. Satan is a sinner. How can he pay sinners? How can he punish sinners? In 2 Peter 2:4, we are told that about the Satan is part of the fallen angels. He said that, for if God spare not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. He did what? Angels that sin. Satan was part of these angels. He cast them down to hell, deliver them up into the chains of darkness. They have been bounded in darkness. That is why they rule over sinners. And they are reserved unto the day of judgment. Satan himself is in the state of sin. He's in a kind of judgment now, though he's not yet fully punished. So, waiting for the day that he and his cohort will be what? Punished. So, how can he then be the one that the ransom price has to be paid to? So you see that what they teach is wrong. Satan himself is in darkness. He is a senior, a senior prisoner in darkness, so that when we came in as sinners, he also has a kind of a rule over us. It's like a classroom. The class prefect has a rule over the class, but he's not the final authority. So the friend, when we think of redemption of Christ, the first thing we have to think about, the correct teaching about our back in sin. They also again, based on Yahweh or Bonim. I don't know my own, Messima, Yanko punish said, dear, or yet to also be a few minutes to be here today. Our what? Birth in sin. By our birth in sin, we are under the curse God pronounced on our first parents. Messi at Tibonimono, Yanko Pony no me or the ma, yea, Yahoo, the kind, some year one, you know, and I also the sentence of death. No mere a year ago, and I also remember when God said that, told Adam that the day that he eats that food, he will die. So the minute he ate it, the sentence, that curse came on him. And further, God also gave additional curse. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 17 to 19, we are told, he said, that curse is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of fish all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust. Unto thou shalt thou return. So you see, you suffer, and you die. As a result of the sin of man, the first sin Adam did. So, the Bible tells us, Adam, when Adam sinned, he sinned on our behalf. So that whatever God, pronounced on him, it was pronounced on us. Some people say, oh no, that is not true. But if it's not true, death, who brought death into the world? It's sin. And who was the first person, human being, to sin? Let's forget about the angel. It was Adam. And through him, we all die. Infants die, adults die. And then all the calamities of life comes to us. So you see, it be true that we have this sentence of death on ourselves. And it is this sentence of death and the death, as we are talking about, not just the physical death, the spiritual and eternal death, which is so much what the redemption is about, which the ransom price was about. That's what we think about. Because in Ezekiel 18:4, we are told, behold, all souls are mine, as the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinned, it shall die. This one is not to Adam, to us also. A soul that sins, it shall die. Sentence of death is on every sinner. Our original sin and our actual sin, they all bring to us to the state of death. So it is God who pronounced it, not Satan. It is God who said that a soul that sins, it will die. Nyankopon neka said, nipa, okra oye boni, no bewu, nye Satan neka. And Nyankopon the command on sinners. In Deuteronomy 32:39, look at how Paul says again, see now that I am he, and there is no God with me. I kill, and I make alive. I wound, and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. So when God sentenced sinners to death, nobody can redeem that person. Nobody. No one can redeem the person. So when you talk of our condemnation to sin, Satan is not, it's nowhere to be found. It's God who has condemned sinners to death. It is by his curse that has brought suffering in this world. So the curse of sin, which God has pronounced on man, that has brought sufferings in this world. So Satan also takes advantage of this as the king of terror. It's like when there's a coup or there's a civil unrest, and people have taken arms against the government, and now the government is dissolved, and yet nobody has really gripped power. You see the state of the affairs, how it will be. Like, sometime, I don't know if it's still on, in Libya, when Gaddafi was overthrown, every people will take an arms and they will just do whatever they please. They will take a portion, they will rule by it and all that. You see? So Satan also is exercising control over sinners because we are fallen. Because we are in a state of darkness. So he takes advantage of it, and that God doesn't owe him anything. Neither do we owe him anything. We only have something to do with him when we are in a state of sin. When we are not being delivered from that curse which God has placed on us. That is what matters. So you see, the false teaching of redemption makes people to think of Satan, not God. God, it is God that we have to do it, not Satan, not demons, not witches. No, it is God. So when people think of Satan having some power concerning our redemption, then as if, oh, Satan, that we have to do. No, we have nothing to do with Satan. When we have dealt with God and God has been placed with us, Satan is nowhere to be found concerning our redemption and our life in this world. So it is only God that can curse, not angels, nor man. You see, sometimes people will say, oh, in the Bible, people curse. Like, remember, Noah cursed Ham. David used imprecations and all that. But what we have to know is that this patriarch, and this particular person in Scripture, what whatever they said were prophetic. In any way, they were acting like judges in their time. They were acting like people, like if you go to a court and a judge sentence you, that maybe you'll be hanged. There's authority given him, and these people were acting in the dispensation with God, give them that authority. It was like prophetic. Whatever they said, they were acting for a particular work that God has given them. So it's like speaking on behalf of God, like how Joshua can say, let the sun be still, and he stood still. Or let's say for example, Elijah can call fire from heaven and it will come. You see, they were acting in a special dispensation and they spoke as if God had spoken. So the idea that some people think that even parents can curse them. No, parents cannot curse or bless their children so that it will take effect. It is true that once children disobey, God says he will not bless the children. So, of course, we read in scripture, like, people cursing or blessing, like the patriarch, they have they were given that special authority to do that. Like, remember Abraham blessing his children, Jacob also blessing his children. Noah cursing Ham, and it took effect on all his descendants. So, it was that special way they acted. It isn't that Bible teaches that you can curse somebody and it will work. So people take it, what you use your mouth to say, it's a word. No, that's not the Bible says. So, it is only God that can curse, not angels, nor man. As I said, those people, they acted as like a sentence from a judge. Like, when the judge pronounced a sentence on somebody who have done it wrong, by the constitution, by the law he's having, he's not acting on his own authority, he's acting according to the law. And again, these people in the Old Testament who were able to curse and mostly were acting in like a type of Christ. David and his implications. You know, David was a king in Israel and he several ways represented Christ Jesus. And so the enemies of the Church of God, he could pronounce judgment on them and all that. Which God pronounced judgment on them. But not personal. Remember, many if you look at the life of David, he had personal injuries from many people around. He never cursed them. Even at one time, somebody was throwing stones when Absalom rebelled. And one of his army officers said, let's go and chop his head. He said, no, leave him. Maybe it is God who has what caused him to do that. But the person was even cursing David, you see. So they used those words, curse words, not for their own benefit, but they were acting in the dispensation God had given them as like a judge calling a sentence. So we think of curse, it's only God who can curse and also can undo a curse. Okay, so in recovery also, we look up to God whose curse is on every sinner. It is his instructions that we have to listen to that will lead us to freedom. So let us remember, no so-called prophet or man of God today can declare or decree deliverance to anyone. Nobody can, they can do whatever they are saying, just empty words. They can never decree or declare whatever to anyone. Because in 2 Peter 2:19, we have told that these false prophets, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. They themselves are under curse of sin. They themselves have to go to God for forgiveness of their sin, and yet they think they can deliver people from their sin. No. Or they think they can deliver people from their afflictions of life. No. They are not the curse of sin. They have to also look up to God. While they promise liberty, they themselves are servants of corruption. They themselves are under sin. So, as we think of a ransom for sin, let us remember that nothing in this world might be so important to us as than our liberation from God's curse on sinners. The curse, sentence of death on sinners, that should be our greatest thing to think about. How can I be redeemed? How can I have liberty from my sin? How can I have redemption from my sin? All matters of life can never be compared to this. Compared to the deliverance from sin's dominion. Because it's something which will usher sinners to eternal death if they are not rescued from that curse in this life. For we have life if we are not redeemed from this curse which God has placed on sinners, it will lead us to eternal death, because that is what he has said. So to know freedom from sin is vital for a life well lived. Many people will say, oh, a life well lived. Sometimes when they die, you say, oh, a life well lived. I ask myself, do they know what it means to live a life well in this world? Yet people think that, oh, when I have things in this world, I'm living well. True contentment and gratitude fills the life of everyone who knows deliverance from sin by Jesus Christ. Because when God sent Jesus Christ into the world, the Father sent him into the world. Remember what John the Baptist said, this is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin from the world. That takes away the curse of sin from the world. It is he, when we put our trust in him, the curse of sin, the sentence of death on us, to be taken away. So John himself had disciples, but he pointed them to the Savior. He pointed them to Christ, that he is the one who can take him from sin. Though John was a mighty man, he was a great prophet, he couldn't take anybody from his sin. He pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. So that we cannot move on in life and thinking things are well while we are still slaves to our sins. We are deceiving ourselves. And he said, yeah, bravo, yeah, he said, oh, yeah, koso, embra, yeah, bonnie, aye, enkwa. Yeah, is that, yeah, yeah, enkwa, emma, yeah, bonnie, and ne, no, me, enkwa, dia, to, at bon, yeah, force. You should be mindful of this, because that is something which is very great. Because knowing freedom from sin has also something to do in afterlife. When we die, at a death, when we die, and in the day of resurrection, if we have been liberated from our sin, and we have been taken from the curse of sin in this life, that is where our happiness lies. Those who have not been redeemed from this curse, then they have no joy after life. They must go and face God by themselves, and the sentence of death will still be on them. God will not take it away from them at the day of judgment. They will have to go on to eternal doom. So my question to you is that, do you know freedom from sin? Those that Christ has redeemed from sin, do you know that freedom? Have you tasted of how a person is redeemed from the curse of sin? How do you know that? Have you tasted it? Because all that we talk of salvation, about Christ, that is where it is. To be liberated from the curse of sin, which has made us, even the law of God, be a curse upon us because we have disobeyed God. His law has been a curse to us because that which was given to show us what holiness and righteousness is about, we have transgressed, and that God's judgment is on us. So, as we think on this further, the ransom for sin, I want us to refer to our passage for a few remarks. The first thing is that our passage declares that the impossibility of riches to save a soul from life's calamities and also the power of death. And this, we can find the connection from verse 10 to 11. It tells us how rich man dies and also foolish people die alike. And also, verse 12 also tells us it doesn't matter how famous and how wealthy a person is in this world, he dies like an animal. Verse 14 also tells us that we also are buried like sheep. When we die, we have no power. We are like animals. And 17 tells us that when we die, all that ever, whatever we ever had in this life, is consumed away from us. And specifically, verse 69, as we read in the beginning, confirms that riches and anything that we have in this world cannot save us from even this life calamities in this life. Because it tells us that they that trust in their riches and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother nor give to God a ransom for him. When the troubles of life assails your heel, nothing in this world can save you from it. Okay. Why is this so? Because it is so because our existence really is not supported and secured by things of this life. Because why things of this life cannot save us from the troubles of life? Because our life really is not supported by what we have or what we don't have. No, our lives are not kept by that. Our lives are not kept by anything that we possess. No. Remember, look at when sickness comes. It comes whether you are rich or poor, you are there. When accident comes, whether you are rich or poor, you get us. The rich man gets into accident, the poor man gets into accident. Disappointment, it affects all of us. And when you talk of death and losing of families and friends and relatives, it affects all of us. And our own life, one day we may lose it. And it doesn't go for only the poor or the rich, it goes for everybody. So you see that we cannot even have control over these things. But yet, I am aware, and I'm sure you are also aware, that many other people live their life as if their lives are supported by the gains of this life. And maybe Breno, though in himself, it's a lie. Because the Lord Jesus Christ being warned against these false principles of life. Mesima, sa adimpoefa nipa enkwahono enyele pre. In the parable of the rich fool in Luke 12, he spoke about this, and he concluded the parable by saying, "So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Ose niya ogi nse so njia bebro wiasimu anasa niyoma onya wiasimu ne ma. Meaning that in the things of our life which has to do with God and his righteousness, they are empty. In the things concerning how God sees us and is pleased with us, they are empty. And the things concerning our life after death, where we go, they are empty. And the things that having a share in the salvation of Christ, they're empty. That is what it means. They are not rich toward God. Before God, they are spiritually empty, because they think that this life and these things are their support. Yet the Lord Jesus has warned it. But you know, many people from Monday to Saturday, what are they busy about? Making more profits, investing more, acquiring more. I mean, the mind is even blocked. I mean, to hear even the warnings of to read the Bible or to pray or to do much about their soul's business, they go on and on and on. And yet these same people who are so busy for the things of the world, they are so lazy about their soul's needs. They are so lazy. They don't care about their soul. Just they care so much about their body. This body that one day will be rotten. They are so, because whatever riches we have in this world, it's not for our soul, it's for our body. Whatever we are able to enjoy in this life, I mean, for our body. And how do they do this? They try hard to push aside the real fact of life. Sin and death. Bone and ye wo. And only a camera boom gay here. I know my name. Bone and ye wo. Because I have said that all the troubles of life, because there is sin in this world. And if the troubles of life are because of sin, then it's a great thing that we should never forget about it to deal with. Yet that's what we forget. We say that our sin is nothing, but the troubles will always come to us. The real fact of life, they put aside. They try hard to forget how they stand before God. Because if every day we wake up from our bed and we think of how do I stand before God, how God sees me, it will really put a reminder in our minds while we go on to do our daily business. How do God see me? Am I a sinner? Or am I his friend? Am I his child? Is he my father? Am I not deceiving myself that I'm a child of God? And I think on these things. How they stand before God, they forget about it. And because when we are pleased that God is pleased with us, that's the comfort of life. And yet, people comfort themselves by their gains. Yes, we push the thought of sin. We put the thought of death aside. We put the thought of how we stand before God aside. And yet, because at least we are gaining more profit, we are gaining more wealth, we are going on maybe in our state in this world, then we are okay. After all, I'll comfort myself with these things. Such ideas of lives are souls damning. And that's what Christ wants. So you see, who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God? Who abandoned the idea of God
and how he stands before God, who abandons the idea of sin and its implications, its curse on human in our life, in this life, and the life to come. These people, they are doing a harm to their souls. Let's remember that earthly things cannot secure anyone from even physical death. When physical death knocks at the door, as I've said, nothing can stand in the way. Sicknesses, losses, disappointment, family problems, infidelity in marriages can never be remedied by riches. Whatever, these life calamities, when we have riches, can never remedy these things. We can live with these things to our day of death. They can never solve these things. And the chiefest of all, eternal damnation. The day that sinners will be condemned forever from God. The things of this world can never come into stand. As we read in one of our passages, said that we came to this world naked, and so we'll go out of this world naked. That is how it is. We go taking nothing in our hands, and yet we are grabbing everything. And when we are buried, we take nothing. We go empty, we get our shirt on. Sometimes we need to take it off, you see. But the second thought in this passage is that it declares that it is God that the redemption price of every sinner must be paid to. Remember when we started, I spoke about the ransom theory and how the redemption price of Christ have been distorted, that is paid to Satan. But no, this tells us that it has to be paid to God. In verse 7, last one, I said, "Now give to God a ransom for him," thinking of somebody paying a ransom price for his brother, but also for himself. He cannot pay. The riches cannot pay for himself. So you see, it tells us that it is God that we have to pay to. It is God that we have to do it. Because he has brought a sentence of death upon sinners. The power of death on their souls is God who has held them there. The soul that sinners shall die, as God has said. He only pays the wages of sin in this life and in the world to come. When people are punished for their sin, he orders it. We don't see it, but he orders that sinners could be punished. There are sometimes sinners in this life, sometimes are able to elude punishment. But nobody can prevent the day of final judgment. That one, everybody will have to face the wages of his sin. Because we are told, Romans 2:6, that who will render to every man according to his deeds? God will punish everyone according to what he has done. And the sinner will be punished according to what he has done. So we cannot think of how we can be liberated from sin. God first. It's only that we think about. It is God whom all sins are committed against. Sin, every lie, every dishonesty, every hatred and pride and anger, everything we do is against God and his law. He's the lawgiver whose law we have transgressed. Whatever we have done, even if it's against our neighbor, it is God that we have sinned against. And every accusation in our conscience reminds us of our sin. Whenever when the accusation comes to our mind, we have done wrong, it reminds us of our sin. It is God's mercy that every sinner has abused, because he has given us all things in life to enjoy. As we are told in Acts chapter 14, so that we will what? Seek after him. But after enjoying all the things of life, we seek after him. We really think of what he has said about ourselves and how we stand before him. Do we really deeply think about them? So in Yankupon, onu ne mesin se base ebeji efi boni mu a, onu no se tia bona oka mano. Na me ka se onu no tia de boni foka. Onu nso na oye Yankupon a boni nya eye tia no. Onu nso ni mra na mra tupo nya ai eye tia. Na yempo ya dwen mu no. Mesma eye aje e chere se eye de boni no. E chere se boni e wo yemu. Na onu ni mo bro hu na boni ne bia ade ato fo e fi se onu na wa boni Abrabu mu nyoma bia ye nya bia if you say eni ji hu a boy bia ono de amaye nti ono ni mebro hu na ya to asese ye ndin na sem enemies na fire ho enemies ma boni ehye ye so enemies e beji ho afi mu a ono na ye ye tia no. And as God is also the judge who is able to save and destroy. You see, he only can save and destroy. His sentence on life is final. That is why his sentence on Adam was final. He only. Nobody can take that sentence from man. Only he that we have to do it. Yakupon pe in an atom waka for ni paho. Any enkwa, any abrabono, air final, obian to me, and sada. in Job 12:40. You see, Job in his afflictions, went and he made, he said that behold, he breaketh that, that's about God, and it cannot be built again. He shattered up a man, and there can be no opening. Job realized it because he could see his suffering, and he could realize that he cannot do anything about it. You only have to go to the fact that God has placed him in that position. But what do people think? Oh, I'm suffering, but maybe some witches are doing me. I'm suffering, maybe. I remember when I was at my former workplace, there was a man who was a constant drunkard. And the people would say, oh, from the family, some witch, they have bewitched him. And it's a common thing people say. Oh, here we go. They have put a drum in his stomach so he, by the witches and all that. Yeah, forget that. It's addiction. It's led by our sinful desires. Last, he started something. He started doing that small, little, and now that girl got in grip of him. He cannot get out. That's how addiction is about. Everything, but in our part of the world, when people are addicted to anything, they say, "Oh, witches are bewitching," so that they forget. So they put the blame not on the person. He has not done anything. The witch, and that's what we think about. No. When we have been shut in and gripped by our addiction because of our sins, it is God that we have to we have to do it. Every addiction, if you want to do it, any addiction, we go to God. Everything on human life, it has to be done with God. Anything you try to use it to clear it, it will never work. You see? So, it is just that is affronted by every sinner. And therefore, if satisfaction has to be made, it has to pay to Him. It is Him that we have to look up to. And our third point is that the pastor declared the impossibility of a man to pay a ransom to God. Though it is God that we have to pay to, but we cannot pay the ransom for sin. Nobody can. Nobody can. As the verse also tells, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. Because he says, for the redemption of their soul is precious, and it's there forever. To redeem a soul is precious, and it's something that when it is done, it can never be undone. When God saves a soul, He saves forever. And so when there's a sin on the soul, there's a judgment on the soul, it's a great thing. And yet how less we think of this? As if sin is nothing. But a judgment on the human soul because of sin, it's a great thing. It's something that a judge who we cannot, nobody can, I mean, you know, when there's a case in the public, some judge sentenced a person, some senior judge somewhere will, maybe they will go and review the matter and it will be said, oh no, it was not right. But for God, when He judges and when He sentences, nobody can review it because He's just and holy and right. So that when He says that a sinner should die, a sinner will die until he has undo it by himself. So the impossibility also comes from the value God has placed on the soul. But it's God who made us. Now, we're born a boy, eh? Say, you ain't mean to ya, you're born, and I ain't mean, I ain't mean, but I'm a crown. If we say, I'm going to fall, all the workers here to Nipakrasso. It's not a boy, eh? He created the body. He also gave us the soul. And He has told us that the soul is precious and valuable than the body. Oh, no, boy, eh? Oh, my crown, my soul. Oh, no, my chance, eh? Your crown, who he has seen, but Nipa said that. That's what we live. We think of our bodies and our soul. So when we think that, are we not thinking opposite of what God has told us? Because of the value He has placed on the soul. A single soul is far precious than all the riches in the world. It's not interesting. Give a single soul. It's far precious than all the riches in the world. Why? Because His image in man was stamped on the soul. When God made man in His own image, not according to his physical feature, but His character, which His soul portrays. His holiness, righteousness, and love, and whatever God placed in man, it was in the soul, not in the body. And God will not, God Himself will love His own nature. God Himself will love His own image. So the soul represents, it's where His representation is. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 26, we are told God, when Christ said, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The Lord, that is the Lord of life, the Savior, is telling us that what can you exchange for your soul? Think of everything. in this world, what can you use to exchange your soul when your soul is under sin? So nothing in the world can redeem a soul under sin. When your soul is affected with sin, what can clear you from it? What can redeem your soul back in this world? Nothing. Not even, that's why those who think that doing good can make God justify a sinner. It's sad. Send me your papa. I go the money by telling me. No. Not, I mean, how can just doing a good save a soul under sin? It's not true. Because the Bible tells me nothing in this world can save a soul. So as I come to my conclusion, it is true that nothing in this world can save a soul. But God himself in his kindness has made provision. Because the Bible tells us that it's the only the redemption of a guilty soul is only by the precious blood of Christ. It is only his sacrifice, his life that he gave on the cross is a ransom for a sinner, for a sinner's soul. It is yes, Christ pay. And the question came to me, hey, maybe I'm fine, dear cry, I shall one year. And so Bible when I try and say, Only a union with him will undo the curse of sin. When my life is joined to the life of Christ, then I can be liberated from my sin. In Matthew 20:28, Christ tells us, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. To give his life as a redemption price for many who will come and trust in him. The curse of sin is on everyone, but when we come to trust under his shadow, when we come to confess our sins to him and ask him to forgive us like the thief on the cross, it says he gave his life a ransom. He gave his life for every sinner, any needy sinner who will come to him. Good works, church attendance, baptism, anything we can think as good can do us no good when it comes to our redemption of our soul. The ransom price that has to be paid. So when people think of other things that will make God to forgive their sin, and apart from all Christ, it's sad. Because how can just doing good works cancel your sin before God? It's not. How can just being baptized in water cancel your sin before God? It's not. Christ says that he is the ransom for many. Baptism is a picture of what Christ has done, that his death and burial and resurrection. But it's not what Christ has done. It is his death on the cross, where he poured his precious blood, where he gave his life in place of our life, where our life, which was under sin, when we liberate them, when we come to him, we trust in him. So you see, nothing can save anyone. It is on the faith on the work of Christ on Calvary. It is only Calvary that saves a sinner. In Romans, we are told that God has set forth to him to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. Or the night in Patadia, that's what it tells us. It is through Christ. So when we think of anything apart from him, we have gone astray. So you see, all the many teachings and the preaching which direct people's attention from Christ when it comes to our redemption leads people away to that, to death. I mean, it makes people to go away, which is again the way of God. But my question to you is that, are you seeking to be saved from sin? The sentence of sin, the curse of sin. You know that in Galatians chapter 3, at verse 8, it says that Christ became a curse for us because he hung on the tree. He became a curse for us. He took the curse of sin. He became a sin for us. He became a sin. Tonight we'll try to learn about the penal justification, penal, where Christ took our place as sinners. We'll try to learn about that tonight. But it speaks more of what Christ has done by taking our place as sinners. That is penal substitution, yes. That's the subject. Penal substitution. And it makes clear how it means when we talk of Christ dying in our place. What he did. That without resting our hopes on that, nothing can be compared to that. So it's a cross of Christ and his blood. And my question to you is, are you seeking to be saved? Then we look only to the Savior. Only he has paid the price for sin. And are you thinking of your redemption from the power of Satan and from witches and from whatever? Look to God alone. When you have done with God, Satan and witches and demons have nothing to do with you. They are just taking advantage because of our sin. But when we have been redeemed from the power which has brought this curse upon us, peace with God, peace in everything, that nothing can affect us. So, the Savior is ready to receive any, because he said that he gave his life as a ransom for many. And our verse in chapter 49, verse 8 tells us, for the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceases forever. It's precious, it's something that is valuable than anything in this world. And sometimes when Christ saves a sinner, he saves forever. He doesn't redeem a soul, and again give the soul back again to that case. Whatever Christ bore on the cross, he bore it once. So our faith in him, our salvation is once. So let it be in our minds. Let us remember that for us to have our sins forgiven us, it is God that we have to do it. And that our souls are more important than our bodies. And that's what the Bible tells us. Because to redeem our soul, it takes the Son of God to come from glory, to leave his glory above, to come on earth, to die, to taste death for us. So may the Lord help us as we think on these things, that we, if anyone has not come to the Savior, then he must be aware of the curse of sin on him or her. If anyone has come to the Savior, then the Lord tells us that the curse of sin is taken away. But if you have not come, you can come in repentance, trusting that the Savior has died. And if the Savior has died, that is all. And if that is your faith and hope that God will accept you, that is all that the Bible tells us. So may you come to him, trusting that the Savior is willing to receive any one of us that comes. So come in repentance. Come and trust under the shadow of his wings.